Good morning, self-lovers. Welcome back to the Self-Love Show. I am your co-host, Dawn Light, and this is my beautiful sister here, Trish Wright. And we produce the Self-Love Show weekly. In case you're new, thank you for tuning in. And for all our longtime viewers, we just give you so much gratitude and thank yous for tuning in weekly. We love you. We appreciate you. This is a heart-centered, devoted practice, spiritual practice to give the Self-Love Show to you weekly. And we're so grateful, you know, and it's really spreading the message of love far and wide and how we can love each other more, how we can love ourselves, our curriculum, and most importantly, our relationship with the bigger S, God, creator of all that is. And so, and that's a reflection in all parts of our life. And so why not lean all the way into love and love's expression through us, right? And how we can fully embody that in our lives. And so today we have a great guest. I'm so excited to read his really sweet bio. So today is about the subtle spiritual art of bragging about your business with Mark Silver. For those who prize humility and don't want to be gross or hypey, but want to stand strongly in what they do. Since 1999, Mark Silver has worked with heart-centered entrepreneurs to help them realize that every act of business can be an act of love. Mark is one of the pioneers in integrating real spirituality with the nitty-gritty of small business. He founded Heart of Business, Inc. in 2001, a designated master teacher within his Sufi lineage, and he has received his Masters of Divinity. As a coach, teacher, and spiritual healer, he has facilitated thousands of individual sessions with entrepreneurs and has led hundreds of classes, seminars, groups, and retreats. His weekly writings and teachings are followed by thousands of people around the globe. A fourth-generation entrepreneur prior to Heart of Business, Mark ran a distribution business, turned around a struggling nonprofit magazine, and worked as a paramedic in the San Francisco Bay Area. So we'll put Mark's links in the chat later. But welcome, Mark. We're really excited to have you today.
I am so delighted to be here. We had so much fun chatting with you already. I'm so interested where we go.
There's no doubt that we will meander around. You know, I read a book. Mark, you're from the Bay Area. And I know, Don, you are as well.
Not originally, but yes, I spent well over a decade there. Yeah.
There was a restaurant called, it was the raw food vegan restaurant. What was it called?
Gratitude Cafe.
Yeah, Cafe Gratitude. There was a book that they had called something like Sacred Commerce, Your Business as a Spiritual Awakening. And I read it many years ago and I was like, I didn't quite understand, but now I do. spiritual awakening, just like relationships. And I know that there's a place where we're taught kind of to be more modest and not to share or not to sell or not to do these things. But a lot of us, I mean, just in general, under capitalism, we're kind of taught to sell ourselves in some way. Confidence. Or, you know, like one of the questions that we ask, what do you do? Like, you know, and so it's one of these things that's both in our culture to be both shamed and to be promoted. And I think it's wild.
It is wild. It is wild. It is so painful. I heard, I have to chase this quote down and give proper attribution to it, but I've heard it said that we don't have a culture, we have a collection of trauma reactions. And I think that what you just described, like, really illustrates, you know, what I think we're swimming in, especially in the world of business. And it's so painful because, yeah, you need to, you know, you must be modest, you must be humble, like, don't toot your horn, but you have to toot your horn, you have to get out there, you have to put it out there. And that tension paralyzes people, mm-hmm. and folks don't know how to go through, because you can feel the truth in both of them, right? There's a deep truth in being humble. Like, humility is a really important, critical, central spiritual value in how we move as human beings in this world. But standing in strength, standing in our sovereignty, being willing to show up, like, that's also a truth. And how do those come together? And so many people get frozen trying to integrate what I've seen seem to be incomplete understandings of both of those pieces.
For me, it lives a little like this. Like, when one starts kind of doing the, I call it deconstructionist work, when you start recognizing how there's many places where our identity or places where ideas are socially constructed and how we're living. So, like, social norms are to help us all behave in the same system, right? Social norms. And then there's like rules and laws, and it's how society is created, right?
Right.
Shame is one of the tools of social norm behavior. So in this sense, it's like, as we start to deconstruct some of those things, like, someone will be like, oh, you're real beautiful. And I'm like, well, I just was socialized as female in this culture who idolizes this exact look. Okay. I get it. I'm not like, versus the like, oh, yes. Oh, like my Fabio hair, like, you know, like,
Fan and the lights and the
soft. Yeah, I'm not like bragging about something that I didn't really have a control over.
Right.
But I do brag about things that I like push up the hill, you know, like a big ball up the hill. Like, I'm like, oh man, that was hard. And many of my friends will also, you know, like, hey, that was hard, and celebrate. Like, I celebrate Dawn when she pushes a big thing up a hill, you know?
Right.
We celebrate each other. True.
Yeah. Well, I law. Spanwatala. So, you know, it's so important. I feel like, you know, and I love the context that you brought in about societal norms and deconstructing these ideas that we have, because one of the things that I think is really important to notice, to observe when we're in capitalism, when we're living in this kind of late stage predatory capitalism, is that we all have issues with business that are not issues we need to get over. Like, they're legitimate reactions to really horrible things. You know, I mean, so many of us have been at effect or witnessing the effect of really toxic business practices that have been the norm for several centuries, you know, and gotten worse and worse and worse. And it should be noted that, you know, commerce and trade are kind of normal to human beings. Like, indirect barter of various sorts has existed in lots of different forms throughout human cultures as long as we've been around. And capitalism is a very specific thing that was created in the last few hundred years and is not the norm or natural or, you know, going to be here forever. And so when we have those kinds of reactions to an unhealthy environment, naturally we turn away from them. Like people of heart and people of integrity go, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that. You know, it's kind of like, you know, you've been able to give voice to that piece about, pretty privilege, you know, or what have you, you know, certain forms are of the human body are given privilege over others, you know, mm-hmm. depending on skin color and size and shape and, you know, all of these different things. And yet, you know, and so you've been able to give voice to that, but you had an inkling like, oh, this isn't really mine to brag about. It's just what I'm carrying. It's just who I am. It's just what I've been given. And so, you know, I don't want to get too weird or too academic about this stuff, but I think that it's helpful to understand some of this context in business so that you don't end up feeling like gaslit by the culture, you know, when you have resistance to, when people have resistance to promote themselves, promote their businesses. It's like it comes from a very legitimate place and there's truth in it and it needs to be examined. One of the things that I think is one of the most important human capacities to develop, I believe, is the capacity to be willing to be present with discomfort without trying to soothe it or fix it. Because then we don't turn away from something just because it's uncomfortable. Instead, we can be with it and see, you know, one of the questions I really like to ask, it comes out of the, you know, the derivative from the Sufi tradition that I practice in, is love available even here?
Beautiful.
I love that you said that. So that line is really the foundation of my practice. Is being with the discomfort. Like, can you sit in it and just be with it and not need to fix it or change it, but just sort of, I'm going to use the word love it. And I'm not saying like love as in like, oh, I love you, but as in the radical acceptance of what is.
I mean, yeah.
Yeah. So
it's in my practice too. It's bringing compassion into the places that suffering are.
Yeah.
It's bringing compassion and awareness and acceptance.
So in business, so for the people who are listening, in business, it really touches literally every core, just like a relationship, every core understanding that you not only have about yourself, but about the world, about money, about worth. I mean, there's so many things I can touch, but it really checks you. And so the world tells you there's lots of business, like books and NLP and like coaches in the world that will do this sort of patriarchal, capitalistic sort of like formula that they've created, but they're oftentimes kind of manipulative. Like,
oh, completely. Not kind of, but completely. Yes.
Using people's insecurities to sell them things. And I'm like, I'm just unwilling to do that. Well, and that impacts the how much money I can make or the reach that I can get or that Dawn can get. I know that we're very you can correct me if I ever speak for you incorrectly.
Those are very similar and very aligned in our principles.
Yeah, right. So we're just like, I'm just like, I'm unwilling to do that. And I know Dawn is as well. And it's, I've seen coaches and I've seen people in their business who have really chosen to participate in that way of business and then have an awakening. Like they're making boatloads of money because they're playing the game, but something in them is like, it's not right. Like something in them is like grating. And then they have this like awakening about how harmful these practices are. And they drastically change their practice and everything shifts. And they're like, I'm not making as much money.
Yes. Often because they don't know how to replace it. Practices, right? It's like if you stop doing something that is being effective and then you wander away from that and you're like, well, what do I replace that with? I think that's one of the things that leaves us caught in a variety of kinds of dynamics, right? It's like, what are we moving towards? Not just what are we moving away from? You know, moving away from something is a really important thing to honor. Like there's lots of things that I like, okay, well, I think I need a little distance from that thing, whatever that is. And, you know, but at some point we need to kind of awaken. What am I moving? So what practices are we moving forward to? And I want to, you know, marketing in particular. So let me go Sufi here. So like I can help it, you know. By the way, I think that, you know, when you're choosing a spiritual path, you should pay attention to what accessories come with it, because that's an important part of it. So, you know, if you get good beads and a good hat, you're probably in a good good space. But is that too superficial? Anyway, next topic.
Adornments are okay. You can have all the adornments
they are.
You want.
Beauty is an important part of life. It is. And you know, inner and outer beauty do not have to be in conflict with each other. So when we talk about marketing, which is really, you know, bragging about yourself or promoting yourself or whatever, we're talking about this, the marketing, which, you know, marketing is really, you know, the way I define it is it's like being in relationship with the people that are in relationship with your business. It's about relationships, you know, it defines relationships. I define business as the relationships you have around your livelihood. And marketing is about developing those relationships and caring for them and nurturing them, nourishing them. Mm-hmm. Anybody you talk to about marketing that is effective in it says, okay, you have to talk about the problems, right? You have to talk about people's problems to be able to get their attention. And the way that it is done typically, the way most people teach it is like you'd name the problem and it agitates somebody and you keep naming it and you keep poking them until they're in a state of activation. And the only soothing that they can access is by purchasing. That's the standard way that marketing has been done. And it's been done really deliberately. I don't know if you know the history, but you know, the very beginnings of the birth of psychology, some of the first people in that field were hired by the brand new Madison Avenue advertising firms to use the insights from psychology on how to manipulate people into purchasing. I mean, like, it's just very explicit. It was, you know, it's just right there. So, when people move away from that, they go into these inspirational messages and people don't connect. Like they don't connect. Like they can't, like inspirational messages feel right, but feel good, or they can touch us. But if we're mired in a problem, if we're stuck in something, it feels very far off. It feels like I can't quite relate. It's like, that sounds great. I'll get to that as soon as I handle X, Y, and Z. And that never happens. Mm-hmm. There is a Sufi saying, it's a quote that's considered to come directly from the divine, a hadith Qudsi, which says, God speaking, I was a hidden treasure and I yearn to be known. Mm. And so I created the creation in order to be known. Mm. And that spark of yearning to be known lives in all of us. We all want to be known. We all want to be witnessed. Mm-hmm. You can talk about struggles and problems that people are facing, not from a place of manipulation and activation, but from a place of deep empathy, seeing the person as whole, not seeing them as broken, and with deep empathy for the problems that they're facing. Mm-hmm. And just being with them. And what that does is, instead of activating them, it allows them to take a breath. And when they do, then they can be in an adult space in their own heart and decide whether your business is relevant to them, whether there's something authentic there to connect with, because it brings them back to themselves instead of taking them out of themselves. Mm-hmm. And this is actually a really effective, you know, it's effective way to do marketing. It's how we teach our clients. And it's and it works because you're really seeing people.
Mm-hmm. It's also really loving.
It's so loving. It's all about the love.
It's all about the love.
That feels like, I feel in my body like a sort of softness and an opening in my chest. And like, I can feel my shoulders sort of like go from more. And I feel like this sort of fuzzy in my chest that kind of connects me to you too. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
What strikes a chord for me is it really speaks to how impactful a message can be to someone when they feel acknowledged in their problem, in their pattern, in their struggle, in all the parts of it, right? And you're just deeply acknowledging it and saying, wow, I'm with you in this. I understand what you're going through, and I'm here as a beacon of love and hope and light for you in this. I've walked this very path. I've tread this very path. I might be a few steps ahead, but I've tread this very, bless you, did you sneeze? I bless you, you know, and hold the space for you to choose yourself.
I mean, that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. So here, all of this, you know, that I'm talking about depends on seeing marketing. Like, so most people conceive of marketing's primary role as one of attraction. Like, oh, marketing's main job is to attract people. And I reject that. Marketing is not about attraction. Attraction is the province of love. Attraction comes through love. When we care about people, that's the attraction that people feel. When we want to care for people, when we're giving to people, when we're showing up, when we're witnessing people, that's, you know, that's an expression of love, and people feel that. But however, we've had some experiences in this life of ours. And so we're a little bit nerd, you know, it's like either we're so busy that we don't feel like we don't catch the subtlety, or when we feel it, we're like, but is this just another manipulation? Like, are you really for real? Like, can I trust my heart in this case? Mm-hmm. And so what marketing's true job is safety. Mm-hmm. Marketing is meant to help communicate and bring safety, mm-hmm. which gives space for the heart to be able to feel the love.
Beautiful.
And this is not just woo-woo. I've been doing this work for 23 years. We've worked with thousands of businesses at this point. And, you know, just published a book. Yeah, I'm so excited about this. Heart-centered business, healing from toxic business culture, so your small business can thrive. And this has been tested over and over and over and over and over again. In fact, we were just talking to a client who was talking about how, you know, I keep coming back. She's in our learning community, in our learning community where we do a lot of work with a lot of folks. And she was saying, I stay here because I don't feel agitated. I feel calmer and I feel more centered. And that brings me back to my heart. And I'm actually seeing more clients showing up, but I'm doing less. And the people that are showing up are more the people that I actually want to connect with. And this is not, I mean, there is a spiritual woo-woo element, if you will, but it's not like she's doing marketing. She's not just sitting on a cushion, you know, sending out energy, although that's a piece of it, you know, but she's doing all the things, you know, doing launches and messaging and all of that stuff, but she's doing it from this much calmer, more centered, loving expression. And it works really, really well. Mm-hmm. And I'll give you like a short example that I sometimes use for something very mundane, you know, like a chiropractor. You know, a chiropractor could be communicating like, you know, if you've got chronic back pain, you know, you're at risk of being permanently disabled. Maybe you'll never be able to pick up your kids again. You know, you might never get to what you really love. You know, you better come get help, or, you know, you might be doomed. And you can feel the agitation rising. And it's like, oh my God, you're right. I better go in and get the help. Like, that's how marketing usually works. Mm-hmm. But someone who's speaking from this heart center place of giving safety is like, you know, in this world, like the way our lives are structured, like we go from sitting in front of a screen to doing something. We all have back issues. You know, back issues are really common, mm-hmm. and the body can totally heal from them. Mm-hmm. And I really see where, you know, I see people that get caught not being able to do the things that they love because of their back. But I just want you to know that your back can heal. And there's lots of ways to do that. Mm-hmm. And I really love helping people regain the strength and the ability in their back. Mm-hmm. You can feel the difference, but it's not any, it's like it's, you'll get clients from that kind of messaging, you know, but it's not, you know, you better come work with me or you're doomed kind of messaging, which.
Oh my God. I literally had major back pain over the last 2 weeks. So you're speaking my like actual life experience. I went, had to go to two different chiropractors to get adjusted. And the first one adjusted me and is a friend of mine, really, really nice, like wonderful. Didn't try to pitch me or sell me on more chiropractic. But I, at the end of the day, I was still struggling and having pain. And I've gone to this other chiropractor for many, many years. And he does a very specific method called upper cervical. And so he's helped me throughout the years when I've really been in pain. And so I went to him, but it was really interesting because his whole spiel is like showing you the discs and the things. And he's like, and so as we age, this is going to go away. And so everybody has, and he's, it's just kind of like this doom or gloom salesy pitch. And I was like, God, did he, was he? And I was having this conversation in my mind when he was telling me like, has he always had this? Like, I don't remember it being this kind of crappy feeling. And but this is all an inner language conversation going on inside of me. And I'm thinking like, I'm your client. I've been your friend and client for years. So you don't have to do this. And it was just a very bizarre experience for me. And I walked away kind of feeling kind of like slimed a little bit. And at the same time, deeply appreciative because I immediately, like the next day, my back pain was gone. And like his method worked. He didn't even adjust my upper. He adjusted my lumbar, but did it in a way that I needed for whatever reason.
That's amazing.
That my body can heal itself. And I stand behind that. Like we all have that innate intelligence of God molecule inside of us to like access our infinite potential and healing. And so, but I just, it was an interesting experience to have mm-hmm. that experience of like, you don't have to sell me like that.
Yeah. And it was, and you left with a yuck feeling. And so, you know, even if it works for you, I could imagine you probably feel a little hesitant about sending people to him potentially, you know, just because of that little yuck, even if it was effective, you know, and you know, there's just that little bit of hesitation. And here's the thing is that because these practices are so endemic, they're just so common that even people who have really good hearts, really high integrity, really good intentions, if they pick up these practices, the practices themselves, because they're manipulative, like someone, and this can be really wild to someone who's very intuitive or empathic, who they come to someone and they're like, wow, they're reading like they have really good intentions and they have really high integrity, but I feel really terrible. Like it can be hard to read that because the practices themselves are terrible. And intention does not change that. You know, you have to change the practices too. So I'm sorry that you had to experience that. That's not fun.
It's not fun, but I'm so grateful that he adjusted me.
Like, yes.
I'm so grateful. But I didn't buy into the sales pitch of that I have to sign up for this giant package and that I'm getting older and blah, 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 all the stuff. You know, I was just like, no, I'm okay. This is a once in a while thing that occurs. It's not like, I take pretty good care of myself, exercise, eat well. Like I'm aging with grace is my firm belief.
Yay.
Yeah.
So how do we brag about our business without looking skeevy?
All right.
Nice.
So, well, let me just sell you this special package that'll get you there. So there's some pieces to this. So when we're approaching like wanting to be strong and clear about talking about our business, the first thing that I want to say is that the first thing is kind of just remembering what we were just talking about is right. Remembering that the true purpose of marketing is safety and not attraction. That you're not trying to convince people or pull people in. You're trying to make it safe for the people who would naturally want to work with you to approach. So just like letting that need to like pull people in just kind of like drain away. The second thing is to remember that you're advocating for your work, not for you. Like you're not saying, yay, I'm so good. You're saying this work is really amazing. This work is really effective, you know, and it's so much easier because our hearts naturally want to be humble. It's easier to advocate for a third party, for somebody else. You know, Dawn and Trisha's show is great. Everybody should watch it. It's so much easier to say that, you know, than to like, I'm so cool. You know, it's like you immediately feel that. So it's like if you remember that you are an advocate for your work, you're an advocate for your business and not for yourself. So that's kind of a second piece to kind of step into. Then the third piece is based on this essential teaching, which is that almost all marketing and sales issues or problems can be solved with an application of the truth. Almost any problem you're facing can be solved with the truth. And so you find surprising truths in three areas you're going to want to talk about in order to brag about your business. One has to do with your training. Another one has to do with your experience. And another one has to do with your why and your passion. So when we talk about training, if you're doing your work, you know, you by naming your training that you've done, it carries some of that third party advocating for you. You know, it creates some safety in people like, oh, I've gone through this training and this training and this training, you know, I've trained with this person or I've gotten this certification. And even trainings that seem irrelevant are important. I remember I was working with some Sufi teachers. When I trained with my Sufi teachers and then I was a faculty in the teacher internship program and we were training new Sufi teachers and someone was, we were talking about like, well, how do you put yourself out there? And I'm like, well, what kind of training have you had? And they're like, oh, I have a JD. And at that time, I didn't know what a JD was. I'm like, what do you mean? It's like, oh, I'm a lawyer. I'm like, you put that in there because, even though that training has nothing to do with the spiritual training that this gentleman had, it communicates something. It's like someone who's been through a lawyer training and has been a lawyer believes and knows and has experience that this works. It communicates something to certain people. It's like, oh, wow, a lawyer's doing spiritual teaching and healing? Like what? Like there's something strong there. So when you bring in, you know, irrelevant, seemingly irrelevant things, it has an impact. So you talk about your training. You also talk about surprising truths in your experience. Here's the thing that's always very surprising. How long have you been working with clients, Dawn, for instance? Like, how many years have you been working with clients doing your?
Since 2005.
2005. So, you know, quite a time. How many clients do you think you've seen per year? Or how many sessions do you think you've done per year?
Oh my God. Like I've lost count. Like,
it's, right. So how many, in an average month, how many sessions do you think you do?
Oh, a lot. I mean, I'm steeped in the training because, you know, I did a ton of theta healing training before I even stepped into graduate school. And then through graduate school, I was on a 7-year streak of just 7 years straight of deep practice and then even serving in the organization.
Right.
And so, yeah, I'm
looking for a number. If you can give me a number.
Yeah.
What's that?
Over my time span from 2005 to like thousands and thousands of sessions.
Yes. if you total that up, what I encourage people to do is actually sit down and total the number. Like, even if it's going to be a guess, you're not going to have an exact number unless you have, you know, unless you're like extreme Virgo with all the, you know, all the records. But, you know, it's like, you can probably, you know, given what you're saying, it's like you've done over 10,000 or over 20,000 sessions. Naming that, that's not bragging. That's just truth.
Truth. Yes. Okay. I love this.
Do you see what I'm saying? It's like, even someone who's had relatively, little experience, maybe somebody's just getting started and they've been maybe doing it a year or two. And, you know, maybe they've done practice sessions and they've done this and they've done that. You know, maybe they can only say they've done a few dozen sessions, but maybe there's something else in their past. You know, I know someone who had transitioned from being a public school teacher to then doing their business was based in doing education around communication things. And it's like, I've, you know, had experience in classrooms for 15 years and I've had over 20,000 students, you know. You're not trying to misrepresent yourself. Like, you can tell the context. You're not trying to lie about it. You know, I have 20,000 clients in communication. Mm-hmm. No, that's not true. But it's like, but you can express your experience, the truth of your experience, without any adjectives. Like, you don't have to use any adjectives. You don't have to say, I'm super cool and this was amazing. Just say, yeah, in the time I've been doing this, over 20,000 sessions with clients. Mm-hmm.
Beautiful.
Oh my, do you know what I mean? Like, it lands. And that translates in a lot of different ways. You know, it can be a number of hours. It can be a number of years. It can be number of organizations. It can, you know, there's a lot of different ways that this can play out. And then the third part has to do with, like, why is this important to you? Why is this important to you? And, you know, I love the emphasis on vulnerability in this show and, like, us, you know, being able to talk about, you know, things that are really vulnerable, because it can be really hard. Like, this world can be really hard. We get put in a lot of, you know, hard situations. And, you know, I just, when I see how people, there's so many people, I've seen gifts, the gifts that people have, and there are no jobs that allow people to express their gifts. And yet we need those gifts very, very much. And the businesses that they end up starting are like these little tiny business floating in this big ocean of, like, global corporations. And it's like, it's so important to all of us that these businesses, that the people not feel alone and that the businesses be successful, because those are the gifts that we need more than we need, you know, the global corporations. Mm-hmm. We need each other so much. And so my work is really about bringing healing to this area of life that we've so forgotten that love is present in. And so when you start to weave these pieces of truth and vulnerability together, it just starts to glow. So, yeah.
I love this. It just feels so warm and loving and kind and generous.
Inspiring as well. Yeah.
Mark, would you like to take us through a practice, or was that it?
Yeah. So, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. So I'm practicing Muslim Sufi. I have been for over 20 years, over 23 years, 24 years. And the heart of the practice that we've taught to people from so many different spiritual paths and people from no spiritual path at all, is something that's called remembrance. And if you don't know what Sufi is, if you've ever heard of the poet Rumi or Hafiz, they're Sufi. It has to do with, how do we carry the love in every moment? How do we witness the presence of the divine in everything, no matter how difficult? And so what I'm wanting to lead people into practice in is a practice of connecting to your heart. And so I want to encourage everyone to take a nice breath, gentle breath. And first, just come home to yourself. Just notice how your body's feeling. And notice that there is so much space. You don't have to make space for how you're feeling. There's so much space to feel how you're feeling. And there's also space, if you're feeling something uncomfortable, to not want to feel that. There's space for that too. If it exists, there's space for it. And then bringing your attention to your heart. Letting yourself feel the natural humility, allowing your heart, your head to bow a little, your heart to bow a little. And you begin to call to the divine through the open doorway of your heart. Now, the divine is something that we are not separate from. When I say the divine, I don't mean a beard in the sky. I don't mean something separate from us. I mean something that we have all come from and we will all return to and we are all part of, we are expressions of. We are not separate in any way, but we forget. And so I use as a Sufi the name Allah, which simply means the divine, God, the oneness. It has that nice ah sound, which opens the heart. You can use whatever name you like. And I just call it into my heart, Allah. And then I notice Allah. 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 This remembrance is dhikr, remembrance. Is literally that. It's not a technique, it's a relationship. This is not just a repetition of a sound, it is an actual calling out to the oneness. Allah. And then I want to take it one step further. Everything that exists is an expression of the divine. And as such, has its own reality, its own existence. And so one of the things that I want people to get is that if you have a business, even if you just have the idea of a business, it has its own existence separate from you. It has its own heart. It has its own beingness. And so if you're in your heart in remembrance of the divine, I want to invite you to ask to be shown, see, sense, feel, perceive, willing to be surprised, asking to become aware of the heart of your business. Just asking. And really allowing yourself to trust yourself. And asking, what is it that the heart of your business, that your business wants you to know? What is it that the divine wants to communicate to you through your business? Willing to be surprised. And saying yes to whatever arrives and asking, is there more? Is there more? And what else? And just listening. Beautiful. And knowing that we have just taken a few moments with this, that this can be repeated and deepened and extended, letting yourself notice any authentic gratitude, appreciation for anything that you've experienced, and letting yourself express it to the one. Amen. 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 And then bring yourself back, knowing this is available in any moment.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. I'm curious what you all may have noticed, if anything. If you're willing, I don't mean to probe.
Oh, no. Like, I'm in a really interesting spot in my practice where I'm pausing it. I haven't actually said it this out loud to anyone. So, the way that I'm approaching it, it looks differently. And a couple of things came up was go slow and get far. And just keep swimming, 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 those things. And so the way that I'm over the last month and a half, I've been, well, 2 months, I guess, is really like shifting and molding something different. And how it works and how it lives. And it's validating that I'm where I need to be.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm. For me, it's just really, it's a stronger message of just keep showing up and loving. Just keep showing up and loving. That's all I need to do. Don't make it complicated. Just keep communicating from love. And that feels really good. That feels really good. Because there is a deep restructuring going on behind the scenes in my business. And I've been really like holding a lot of space for that. Like there's a lot of people that have left my sphere in a fast way. And that's okay. I just been in awe over how it all unfolded simultaneously with other things not about my business going on in my life. And it's a really deep, it's almost as if the like foundation of my like temple bowl inside my body has been restructured. And so my whole reality is being restructured. And it kind of makes sense because I did Bufo medicine for the first time, and it was a really profound healing in my body temple. And I did a very deep somatic release. And with that, my back pain came in. And then I spent a lot of time in meditation. And I like took a lot of hot baths and like a lot of like being with my pain in my like at the basically the base of my spine. And I was like, wow, what is really going on here? And then I had the most profound meditation come through. And it was like my whole bowl had been reset and like the lining of my womb and like this whole like container space is being reset. And then in one of my meditations, I saw this, and I don't want this to scare anybody, but it was a very profound, like, clear boundaries moment. I had this powerful snake move through my whole outer perimeter of my business and bite its tail. And it was like locked in, like solid, I'm not going to say curse, but effing boundaries. Like, boom, no more. Because it's almost as if I had been just like generously outpouring, overflowing and staying in that place. But then like, there's got to be this balancing taking place, right? And so I'm still in this very generous space, but now God is bringing in a new level of container and new level of strengthening going on. And then in that meditation, it was just like honey. It was like oozing honey, and my whole world was a beehive. My whole room was a beehive, and that was where the wellspring of like blessing and goodness and the heart, and they were connected, the womb and the heart, and they were just generating this love. And then like the bees became like dollar signs, and they were swimming out and flying around and coming back in. And it was just like this like abundance frequency going on. It was really freaking cool.
That is amazing. I can feel it like as you're speaking it, like I have it.
Really amazing.
Definitely noticing, you know, presence, you know, and transmission in what you're saying. That's beautiful. Subhan wa ta'ala. I love that.
Yeah. I love that. I'm just in awe and surrender of what is about to take place in my business, because I could feel it was like this wild storm and a pause. Mm-hmm. And I've been calling in renewal and regeneration. And I've been staying in that vibration of renewal. And I can feel the little sprout, like the little buds, the little blossoms starting to resurface in a way. Mm-hmm. And yeah. So I'm just in awe and excited. And I don't know what will take place, but I know miracles are about to.
I mean, it's so beautiful. I just honor the both of you so much and like giving that space to your business, you know, making these kinds of courageous choices and listening. I mean, one of the things that I can be guilty of too, it's like, you know, when we spend time with our business, it's almost always trying to get something done. Like, how often do people spend time in their business just being with it? You know, I like to say, you know, I like to point out that if you treated your partner or a close friend the way you treated your business, the relationship wouldn't last. You know, perform, do more, you know. And it's just like, you know, and so it's so important. So I love that you all are already in, you know, Trish, you're taking this pause, and Dawn, you're in this reset moment. And it's something that I recommend very strongly, is that we take time to just be with the business in relationship with the essence of it, so that we can listen more deeply. And Lord knows there's plenty to do. You know, there's work to be done. There's details and things to handle, but we're going to be much more on point, much more effective, and be much more effective in our choices and our decision making if we take that listening time. So, that's just lovely. It's just very inspiring for both to hear from both of you. You know, in these different paths that you're on.
Mm-hmm. You're very inspiring.
There's this other thing that's happening too, is like I can't hold all of the things here's something wild. I've been really focusing on nervous system regulation over the last year and a half. And what's happening for me is that even though I have more capacity to be with things, I have less tolerance or desire or willingness to be with a whole bunch of drama. And I'm choosing regulation more often now than I am choosing dysregulation and overwhelm. And running my practice last semester and traveling, like I traveled almost every other weekend to go teach and go teach at different places, as well as go perform and to go to conferences, I burnt myself out.
Yeah.
And it occurred to me, I was like, oh, the degree at which school, like university, is kind of melting my brain, and I'm jumping into it on a very different level. Like I can't hold and really support my practice, like as a relationship, and the clients that I'm holding. Like I don't have capacity to be incredibly present when I'm thinking about ganglia and the DSM and all of the things that I'm memorizing. I'm like, I can't do both of those things while being present with both. And I respect both things and myself enough to just slow down.
It's so important.
Even though that means a lot of things, like taking loans and moving like my social life down to like five people max at a time, and spending a lot of time in front of a computer screen, but in a different way. Like it means a lot of things, and it does. It's like doing, and like the trust fall. It's doing the trust fall.
Yeah. It's so wild because, you know, one of the things I talk about a lot around prioritizing, because, you know, if you're going to build a business, it takes space and doing things, prioritizing isn't just about letting go of things that are unimportant to focus on what's important. Prioritizing is like a deep acknowledgement of our capacity and that it isn't infinite. You know, there's an infinite amount of love, but there's not an infinite amount of our hours in the day. There's an infinite amount of compassion and care and divine presence, and there's not an infinite number of people and tasks that I can care for. And that product, you know, like prioritizing actually is a process that is filled with grief, because it requires us to let go of things that are worthy of care and deserve care that we have to let go of. And and that is something that does not, like our culture, this is part of the toxicity of capitalism. It says you can have it all. It's like, you can't have it all. And our planet is showing the effect of trying to have it all. And our, you know, and the systemic injustice and white supremacy and sexism and all of these other things are, you know, another sign of trying to have it all, and the people that, you know, are at effect of that and take the hit on that. And if we're willing to like slow down and really choose. Either choose, sometimes we're choosing, and sometimes we're choosing from a place of surrender and guidance.
Yeah.
It's really hard for me too, because I published this book, 20 years into my business. You know, people are like, you should write a book. It's like it waited till the right timing. And my priority, one of my top priorities is with my sons, and with this property that we have. And yes, the business is developing, but there are things that have gone much more slowly because I just can't get my arms around that much, even though we have a team, even though I have, people that are, working with us. But it's like everything that comes into our care is worthy of care. And if I can't care for it, I don't want to I'm just repeating what you said, Trish. I don't want to treat things with a lack of care.
Just like a relationship and a spiritual practice, it's a practice. Mm-hmm. And if sometimes relationships, like you've got to transition and move and do the like play and dance with the ebbs and flows of it, and I know that I can't hold it. Right. And that's taken a lot, actually. Like, that took a long time. I was like, oh God, I can't hold it. And to really just see that there are other people on the line. Like, I was getting feedback as well.
Yeah.
There are other people who I'm holding that I can't hold. And right. I'm getting that feedback. So I get to go take accountability and step back into my integrity and take ownership of how that landed. As well, like there's a lot, and it is grief, and it is standing up for what I believe in and what I talk about and what I teach about, and it's integrity and ownership and compassion and honesty. Like, those are the foundations there, and it's on me to move through the grief and to move through the like weird belief mind weird stuff about capitalism and how you can't slow down or you have to keep moving, or like, no, like early in this show, Don and I, we really came up with this, like, we're going to move from inspiration and we're going to move from that loving action and not keep pushing. And I think that's what makes this show so special for both of us, and how we move is that it's home for both of us every week. No matter what's going on, it's not crunchy or hard, or it's flowing and easy, and it's because it's heart-centered, right? Mm-hmm. I can keep this, and we also have a team that helps. They're amazing. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm curious how they get in touch with you, and tell us a little bit more about all of you. What are you doing?
What am I doing? What silver? What the heck? You've kindly put up the website for where the book is. Our main business is found at heartofbusiness.com. For me, like in a business sense, what I'm up to is the book came out in October, and I have several friends who've had like best-selling, and I don't mean just small, but like, 100,000 to hundreds of thousands of copies, books sold. And the thing that I've taken away from their experiences is that a book launch is not a sprint, it's a marathon. And I care so deeply for what I've been able to put into this book. I just poured 20 years of spiritual and business into this because I want people to have access to it more easily. And so a lot of it is about getting the book visible.
Awesome.
There's on a personal side, I'm just, we're planting trees, planting nut trees and fruit trees and berry bushes and trying to really care for our sons as they become more independent. They learn to drive next year. And it's just like, it's like there's a, my wife Holly and I feel like we're at an, there's a, you know, a tree grows up and down at the same time. That's what it's kind of feeling like. Like there's this outer and this down, just, yeah, just deepening. And so, yeah. So I just welcome anyone who's touched by this and is like struggling with their business or isn't struggling and just wants it to continue to develop without losing that sense of surrender and connection. You know, we love caring for people like that. We want to see those businesses thrive.
Feel your heart so much, like beautiful, beautiful, beautiful. Thank you for coming on the show. Thank you for your messaging. Thank you for your spiritual purpose and your work in the world. Like, I really feel your heart and your devotion in it. Mm-hmm. And I know you make major impact in people's lives through this. It's like really beautiful.
Mashallah. Thank you. Thank you so much for the space that you've created and for inviting me in. And this is really beautiful. And I'm just grateful to have spent time with you all.
Mm. Thank you.
Thank you. Yeah, the Self-Love Show is a labor of love for us. We really, it, like Trish said, it was birthed in the pandemic, and we just stay aligned in it, and it's really beautiful. It's of the heart. You know, we want to see people thrive and prosper, and we want the message of love to keep being the echo that echoes out into the universe, and that everybody can have more of it and receive at the deepest levels of what spirit has for us in our life. And that, you know, it's not just for some, it's living a purposeful life, and living an expressed, fully expressed life is available for every single person, and every person's curriculum, you can have it. And it's available to you if you just lean in and love it, and love what is difficult in your life, and learn to transmute it and transform it, and that it's available. And so, you know, the Self-Love Show is really an opportunity to see all the different types of modalities and people and life experiences. And oh my gosh, they've gone through this too. Wow. That's in it's a spark of inspiration for people. And, you know, self-love is not one size fits all. It's like, there's a million different perspectives and a million different curriculums going on, you know, or 8 billion curriculums, we should say, people on the planet. So, you know, God works miracles and is masterful in each of our lives. And it's just, you know, a deepening in that opportunity. Aw, yay.
I mean. Devin. That's very sweet.
Totally.
Dawn?
Oh, yes. For
the reminder. In that other space.
So if you are a beautiful woman that's seeking to have, you know, just some release, reflect, and reclaim. Like, that's what I named it. I'm doing a free women's circle February 23rd to the 24th the 23rd of this month. So it's so exciting. It's going to be probably at 2:00. It'll probably be about an hour and a half. And it's really just an opportunity to come and release what has been burdened in your life, reflect on what's going on in your life, and where can we have some reclaiming our power, reclaiming what we need for our next steps in our spiritual journey. And so this is just an opening and an opportunity to serve you and to give a gift of love to you. And so if you're a woman and you want to come join, please do. We would love to have you. It's February 23rd at 2 p.m. And you can grab the link in the chat. And it's also going to be everywhere on Facebook.
Mm. Well, thank you both so much for your love and your devotion and your work in the world. And thank you all for showing up to listen and participate and watch the show for your own love. I want to say thank you to Roy and Russell for always showing up and being awesome and doing your best in this world of making self-love popular and your commitment to this. Thank you to Love Coach Academy, Scott Katamas, and Global Peace Tribe for running us out. And as always, thank you to you for showing up and committing to yourself. So we will see you same time, same place next week. Have a good day.